Welcome to the Experience Focused Leaders Podcast. My name is Alex Shevelenko. I'm CEO and founder of Relate2, and we are on a mission, both with the podcast and with Relate2, to bring the most important ideas to life. And how do we do that? We do that through amazing, immersive, engaging experiences that move your organization forward, move your customers forward, and move us as a society forward. So if you love ideas, if you love bringing these ideas to life, stick around. Also, at the end of the podcast, we'll reveal how you could potentially be a guest speaker on the podcast as well. Let's get started. Welcome to Experience Focused Leaders. I am delighted to introduce you to Melissa Reeves, who is the founder and CEO of Story Fruition, a public speaking and storytelling training company. She helps you and leaders in large enterprises and startups to follow ways of her mind movie method, which is also described in a best-selling book, an audiobook, which I've been listening to raise money, to close new clients. She teaches this at universities, and on the side, she does a bit of improv. Melissa, welcome to the pod.
Hello, hello, or bonsoir.
Melissa, so let's dive in. We share the connection to a wonderful city of Bellevue, and I think one of the things that your method helps people with is to connect the stories of something that's really meaningful, whether it's something they experienced as kids, or that's where I went to high school. That's something that like lets them connect to kind of really visceral human stories that they can then bring into work. Do you want to introduce us a little bit to the method and like maybe start illustrating with what our audience could take away from this an amazing opportunity to connect with you today?
Oh, absolutely. Thank you for having me too. So I am obsessed with helping people tell their stories in a multitude of ways because human beings thrive on stories. But in business, we tend to think, no, we thrive on charts and graphs. I'm like, but here's the thing, your chart and graph actually are telling stories. And those stories that the charts and graphs are showing us are about people. Or it could be about animals. If you're like an animal rescue, you know, the charts are probably telling that. If you're a climate tech company, maybe it's it's talking about the earth and whatnot. And so
hold on, Melissa. You mean it's not about sending a PDF over?
I want as many graphs as possible.
PDF with many, many pages of many, many, many graphs. Many. At a very dense font.
And I will memorize them. And I will remember them, and I will think about that pie chart for a week. Why do we do that? So here's the thing: is I was in startups forever. From 2002 to 2019, I was in startups. I was in advertising technology and marketing technology, and I was always natural and very good at sales because I was good at vision stories. I was able to get this early adapter to really see the technology. It was behavioral targeting at the time. And I was walking into ad agencies and teaching them that, hey, you know, we've got this thing, it's called a cookie, and we're going to know where they have been on your site, and then you can serve them an ad that's relevant to them. And they're like, what? You know that they've been on my site? I'm like, yes. And then we're going to call something retargeting. And I just started teaching them these terms, and everyone was like, this is amazing. And so they would start to buy into it. So I was in the early, early days of walking people through what this crazy computer could do that their TV couldn't do, their newspaper couldn't do. I was in print forever. And I remember when I realized the power of this technology, I was reading a newspaper and I was looking at an ad and I tried to click it. I was like, oh my goodness. And that's when I knew I had to come over to the technology that was really almost like a living, breathing entity, in that that ad could really start to track. It could talk to the marketers about what was going on out there. It was no longer, you know, some salesperson saying, well, we're in dentist offices and, you know, the pass along rate's 3. So really your 100,000 magazines is really reaching 300,000 people. people are like, is it? But then we would come into data and digital, and we'd say, this is how many impressions you hit. This is how many people that clicked you. And so it was a really powerful way for them to see where they were going and then to see where they were and then where they could go from there. And that was vision storytelling. And I realized, why aren't we doing more of this? Because a lot of people were just saying, oh, the algorithm is going to organize the data, and they'd start talking in science speak, and it wasn't as captivating. And so when I started Story Fruition, I really started to study the neuroscience of what happens in storytelling. Okay. And the brain is wired for a couple of things. Data is where, when you're flashing a chart or a graph, or you say a stat and you start right there, what happens is our neocortex engages and it's analyzing it. It's kind of known as the left brain. It's analyzing, it's saying it's logical. Does that make sense to me? But it is not emotional. And most of the clients that I speak to are life sciences, they're engineers, they're working in AI, and they work out in that neocortex every day for their entire life. It's like a gym. They are crunching numbers. They are buff. They got a six pack in data. Okay.
So basically, what you're like, if I'm jumping ahead a little bit, is what you're saying is the smarter you are in terms of like our classical IQ strength, the more you are in your head, the less likely you're to be connected with your crocodile brain, which is like, totally reactive, and then maybe our emotional brain, which is sort of the slightly a little bit younger than the crocodile brain, but is the one where gets us really to connect with people and ideas in a much more powerful way. Is that kind of where you're heading?
Yeah. So what where we head to is we head to the limbic system, which I'm not sure of the crocodile brain, but I can see a
That's
little crocodile in my head. So that's a mind movie. So yeah, and then what we want to do is we want to honor the neocortex information, because that's the science of our businesses, right? Like that we live for that, but that's not going to compel your audience. So what we want to do is we want to cross over and start looking for the story. And so where who are you serving? Who is your audience, right? And so create a story that we can relate to, that the number's telling us. All right. And create the person having the problem that you're solving. And so what happens is the audience, you don't start off with a number saying, 75% of all women, blah, 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 blah. You might start your story saying, meet Susan. She's a 42-year-old soccer mom, and she is stressed out because she is being pulled right and left and right and left. She's going to work. She's picking up the kids. She's trying to keep it all together, but she just doesn't feel like she can. Okay. Did you see Susan? Did you see her? What kind of car was she driving when she was picking up her kids?
Volvo station wagon,
Volvo.
Volvo SUV, because
Volvo SUV. What
she
was
lives
in
in
the
Bellevue.
SUV? She was in Bellevue with her SUV. I've seen a few Susans there. What was in her? What was in it? What was in the car?
Shitload of wrappers of food on the back seat,
Food,
soccer
McDonald's
bags.
boxes, soccer bags. Did you smell anything?
The leftover food.
Yeah. So the car smelled, it stinks. All of that happened in your mind by me just saying a little bit. For me saying, meet Susan, she's a 42-year-old soccer mom and she's exhausted. And then she's going back and forth and back and forth, carting her kids around. And in your mind, as the audience listening to that, all of a sudden, you created a Subaru. You created McDonald's boxes and Happy Meals in the back, and it smelled. And there was probably soccer gear, and it probably smelled sweaty. And what I did in just a few sentences is I got your mind to go into the limbic system and start to see it. And so now you could say, and Susan represents 75% of the women polled in our survey that say that they're at their wit's end. And then maybe your company, I'm totally making this all up on the fly right now, but maybe the company's talking about, retreats for women that can like give them time, right? So then you'd start moving into the solution. So we start the problem with a character that the number was representing so that we remember it, because we're not going to remember the chart. However, if you convince us enough to feel Susan, and then you move over to your solution, and then you say, then you show the chart. Susan represents 75% of this chart. That's what we would call putting heart behind the chart. And if we could do more of that in business, I can tell you that you're going to see your yeses come faster. And no one's going to be like, oh my God, that pie chart was amazing. They're going to be like, we're going to
Right.
help
So if
Susan.
you're a founder and like, for example, and you're thinking of investors, right? Like you're basically saying I could go and say, look at me, I have this huge market and da 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 da. Or I could tell Susan's story and then say, by the way, Susan is represents, 50% of our national GDP. And
That's right.
then it's like that's a very different way of getting to the same destination. One bores me to tears and doesn't feel at all human. And the other one, it kind of combines the narrative, all of this imagination is activated, and then I still feel like it's a big market, but now it's visceral. I feel her pain. That am I getting it?
You're getting it. Yes. And
Yeah.
so what we're doing is it takes iterations to find that story that you're going to tell too. So your data scientists, they're the early story hunters, right? They're the ones gathering the data, pulling up the charts, making it happen. But everyone seems to think like, here's our story. And it's like, nope, we got a little more work to do. And then we start to maybe put it into sentences together and start to figure out what is the story telling us. And then the third level is, now we're going to make it a character. Now we're going to make it a story. We're going to make it real so that people can see that character having that problem. And then throughout your entire presentation, if this is an investor deck, the entire presentation, you can bring Susan back in to additional charts. You could, like, when you start talking about your go-to-market strategy, you could say things like, we're going to find Susan through, and then you start talking about these methods that you're going to seize her attention, right? So it all plays in, and what happens is, in a presentation like that, and I've seen it over and over and over again, is it becomes an edutaining investor pitch or sales pitch. People are like, they're not going to say, I remember the pie chart. They're going to be like, Susan, okay, yeah,
Now,
I'll
let me ask
invest
you
in.
this. So, Susan, like, look, the Susan is in some ways easier to grok for us because it's not a B2B, it's not deep science. Do you have an example, or maybe we could work through an example where it's something that's very esoteric, right? And the audience that is maybe the customers are deeply technical and they'll know the problem, but like maybe your investors or other stakeholders or future employees that you're trying to bring on board, they don't understand them as well. So you kind of need to take this technical persona and bring her to life, in a way that's harder for us to understand a soccer mom in her 40s.
Right. So what I'm hearing is you've got to make sure you know your audience. Okay. So if let's say I'm in the stage of someone looking at my investment and they're looking at the technology and they have just brought in all their technology experts to look this over, I would bring in Susan lightly, but I would probably focus in on the technology more, but I would still find ways to make sure that there's mind movies in there. Okay. So last night, I was working with someone who does project management. She's like, sometimes we just have to talk about bar charts. Like, how do you make that a story? And we have to say, well, this project's working. It's going green. It's great. This one's kind of in the middle. It's yellow. And then this one, these are the red ones. And I'm like, everyone wants to know the red ones. And so what we did was we made the red ones the kids in high school who were skipping class, and they're smoking at the loading dock, and they're like, yeah, my old man's not listening to me. Those are your problem child.
I see.
And what we did was we turned this red graph now into the problem child who needs attention. And here's this project manager's like, oh my God, my meetings are no longer going to be boring. And I'm like, that's right. And then you have, you know, it's just a little way, because even the most technical people are still human beings that can still be infused with mind movies to make them feel like this is more than just a boring graph. Everyone loves stories. Everyone loves stories, right? And so I believe that we could be bringing this more into our business realm on a daily basis, all day long, in a variety of ways. So investor pitches are one way, and know your audience. If you are speaking only to the tech people, and you know that around that table you've got marketing people, you got salespeople, you got
It's a
interns, you know,
complex sale. It's a complex sale.
it's a
Different
complex
people
sale.
care different things. How do you keep them all engaged?
And that is coming to knowing your, so we teach this too. It's like there's something I call the wonder wander effect. Okay. And the wonder wander effect means that the speaker has either said something like, and usually a culprit one will be they use an acronym and they don't define it. And the audience is like, what's that mean? I don't know what that means. He keeps saying EBITDA. I don't know what that means. Do you know what EBITDA? I'm an idiot. I don't know what EBITDA means. And meanwhile, he's keep going. And what happens is that maybe 30, 40% of the room just lost. They fell off the train tracks of communication and they don't know what he's talking about. And so what I would say is you always want to define a term. So say it, let everyone know, check in with your audience. Does that all make sense? Okay, and then you can start using that acronym. That's polite and that's conscientious to your audience. And that keeps people engaged. They're like, oh, I'm being seen. And so therefore, I will give the same courtesy back to the speaker because they are paying attention to how they're interacting with us.
So, Melissa, wearing my hat as also a technology provider that enables both like much more interactive and engaging live conversations, but increasingly we see the world kind of like what you described was advertising, where a lot of the selling, a lot of the engaging happens when you're not in the room. And not just on a Zoom, right? But it's just I land somewhere, it could be a sales proposal, it could be a custom site people develop for myself, the large client, and I may have different people landing in there, different audiences. How do you find companies are kind of bringing the fact that you're not there physically into the storytelling when you can't control, you know, the sequence, you don't interact with directly. What have you seen that's interesting that we can bring from that interactive world?
I love that question. So here's what I teach. There are three, so you're to you. So we there's lots of ways that we communicate with people. We communicate with our website, we communicate with our PDFs, you know, which is what you do. And it's there to and a PDF. So there's three types of deck. There's an internal deck, which is where your data scientists start. They are gathering it all up. It doesn't have to be that pretty. You can data dump on there a little bit. You can have a lot of stuff because no one's around except for your team. You can text speak as much as you want because you're all talking the same language. Okay. Those sites or those slides probably should never see the light of day unless it's in the appendix. Okay. Because those sort of slides are too in the weeds. And they're almost like the personal stuff in the business, right? The second slide, which is what you work in a lot, is the shared slide. And that means that the speaker's not there and it needs to represent on behalf of you. And therefore, it can have sentences. Like I have a data storytelling deck where I am teaching this, right? And I say, let's begin that this is a shared deck. So expect more sentences, even paragraphs, because I'm teaching you, right? But the third deck, which is the one I concentrate most on at Story Fruition, is the speaker's deck.
The
Okay.
speaker's deck.
And the speaker's deck is completely different. And that's where there's very little information on the page. So let's say in a speaker's deck, let's say you have five, let's say you're talking about a topic about your technology and you have five things you want to talk about. Most people that I see will put all 5 points, all sentences up at once. And what happens in this speaker situation is the audience stops listening because now they're supposed to read and they start reading the slides and the speaker's talking and they're not saying the same thing that the slides say. And so what happens is that you have that disharmony. In fact, the speaker actually becomes annoying because they've said to their audience subtly, stop listening to me, start reading my slide.
Look at the slide, yeah.
And they are showing usually a shared deck slide. Almost everyone's showing shared decks during their presentations. And so the speaker's deck, conscientious speaker's deck, would be something where, let's say you have 5 points, you have an image that's representing what you're talking about. It's not going to be a sentence because you're speaking. It's going to be a bullet point. So, and they're only going to see bullet point one, and you're going to talk about that bullet point. And then you're going to click, and then the second bullet point comes up. So, you know, you have bullet point one, bullet point two, and you're talking about that, and you're holding everyone's attention. And then you click, and then the third point comes up, and you talk about that until you get to the fifth one. Then the last slide, you'll see all five, but you didn't overwhelm them. You gave it to them in bite size that they could take it. But then when you say, I'm going to send you my deck, you're going to take out all the other ones. You're going to take
you
off
don't
the,
have
the
it built
slides,
anymore. Yeah.
And you just put in the five slides. Yeah. Or the, you just put in the 5 points. Why?
Well, I think what's interesting to me, and like this is sort of where we one of our kind of discussion points of how we could collaborate is how you could actually merge the two together. So I think the
yes.
fundamental weakness of the average leave behind, so to speak, deck or kind of self-guided deck is it loses this personality, loses the richness, and loses the interacting stage where greatest speakers, greatest teacher could be using the Socratic method, engaging with us, making little jokes. They change their presentation on the fly depending around the audience's interest. And an average kind of this long form, so to speak, leave behind or kind of the shared deck as you're describing, it's still a monologue, right? It's probably a little bit easier to follow, but especially the more longer, the more complex it is, it sort of just boom, it kind of hits you. Your best intention for the sender is that people will read it, best intentions for the reader that they will get the download, kind of start grogging for that. But then they, you know, they're competing with TikToks and they're competing with this great storytelling somewhere else, maybe on YouTube, maybe watching a TED Talk, you know, on the like versus like digging in this technical, super important, super valuable material. And I worry that our civilization is just struggling to deal with those like longer form shared decks because they lack some of the best storytelling techniques that you're sharing with us, right? These at least slides look flat. I don't feel the emotion. There's no
they're
speaker sharing or lack of nuggets. Because I could have a speaker maybe on the slide share that same story. What are you seeing in this kind of imagine like the marriage of those two types of communications? How do we solve for that?
Well, I love what you are doing. Like when I was looking at your samples, it was like you had motion, you had movement coming through. It was almost as if the presentation was happening to me, but it was still in a shared deck environment. And it was a lot more entertaining or edutaining than I've ever seen, right?
Mm.
And I love that. And I think that's going to be, that's the next
Yeah, you're
level.
Welcome to come back to another episode of this podcast. Thank you very much. Great.
But I think that we all should be demanding of ourselves and of our speakers to be better presenters, no matter what. You know, and so I focus on the speaker's deck the most, but every single one of my clients needs to have a shared deck. And it makes sense to me that the shared deck would be just dynamic, right? And so the power of sound and video and movement and moving things in slowly, you know, like, so that even as a reader, just the other day, I was data dumped. Someone sent me something. They sent me five attachments. And each attachment had probably 500 to 700 words on a page. It was a novel. And I didn't even know, I hadn't asked for it. I didn't know what it was. And someone's like, what'd you think? And I'm like, I'm going to need to go on a vacation to read that.
I'm going to block away all the distractions for the next months. Yeah.
To
and
talk
I
about
love,
your
you
learning
these,
style.
Yeah. Or you get, I think these are also really funny. It's like, let me write an email. Here's five downloads, two links, and this. And so on the download, number one, go to page 24, because that's the stuff. I'm trying. This is somebody who tries, right? Go download number one. But by the way, by the time I get to the attachment, I don't know which one is number one, which one is number two, right? And I'm like, but the irony, the sadness, the tragedy is that actually the important part is that email with those attachments, because that's actually oftentimes where the substance of big initiatives, big projects are, right? Like, so it feels
timing. There's a timing to it. So I was in enterprise sales, right? I was at Oracle. And, yeah. And you know, we once had a master's, okay, everyone, there's a master deck, okay? It's probably 55, 60 pages. It's got all your case studies. It's got your graphs, your numbers, all of that. But if you're going to send it to someone, only send what they need. Don't send them. We had a guy that literally sent the entire master.
Yeah, that said internal on half of it, yeah.
But,
well, actually, this brings me up to one of the things that we discussed that I love that you talked about. I think we see this as well. Like, I think the more sophisticated communicators do a version of what you're describing with a story library. They allow people. So sometimes you are fortunate and you can pick and choose, right? And you kind of assemble it for the customer. Sometimes you have no idea. Sometimes the customer is coming into your website or to your partner portal, like buying complex products like Oracle. You don't know exactly what they need. And, you know, increasingly technical people don't want to be talking to salespeople. And so they kind of need to discover it. So I think one of the things that I love what you're doing is you're basically helping people create the story library. And this is something that we could display through not just a single document, but maybe a library that looks alive. And then you self-direct yourself like you would in a conversation. I want to hear about this, right? And then you're interacting even when you're not in the room. So tell us about this notion of story library. Why do you think it's critical, and maybe some of the best examples of where it's a game changer for your clients?
Oh, yes. Thank you. Well, having been in enterprise sales forever, you know, being an ad tech, you'd sometimes be at a company like 3 years, 5 years, 2 years, it just depends. The shiny penny was always flirting with us. And you'd get to the company and you're just like, does anyone have any stories to tell me that tells me that this stuff works?
Yeah.
Okay. And so I now, my team, we go into organizations and every company has stories. They have vision stories. They have customer success stories. They have failure stories. They have acquisition stories. They have all these stories. And what happens is that most people in the organization, especially obviously new people, they don't know the stories. And so the story library program is where we go in and first we teach their teams first personal storytelling. How do you even tell a story in a mind movie so that it's interesting and that the audience is sucked in and seeing it, like the Meet Susan woman, like I did on the fly with you. How do you do that? We teach that, and I teach my whole method, the mind movie method, in my book. The second part is that we also then teach data storytelling. How do you find the stories, and then how do you control the slides? All of those stories that we go into like masterminds, and what we do is we work with their people. And we find the stories that they haven't even realized they should be telling, as well as stories that they are telling, but they're kind of flat. They're like all over the place. They're not clear. They're meandering. They're sloppy.
They're not tight. They're like, it takes you 10 minutes to get to some boring place where you could get to 1 minute to some visceral place that unlocks.
Because like when you're telling a story, in my method, I call it CROW, and it's actually an improv tenet, and it's called character. So it's an acronym, and it stands for characters, relationships, objective, and where. And what that means is that the story, you have to introduce your characters so that we can see it, okay? And you have a relationship with that character, and we need to know that. And because you're telling it, you can show us with your voice and the way that they tell it. And I'll give an example in a second.
Mm-hmm.
The objective is the stakes. It's like, what's going on? Why are we telling this story? This story is an important story. And then the where is, as the storyteller, you're painting the room. You're letting us see the scene that you're in, because we want to be like a fly on the wall. And And instead of this, so let's just, I'll just use this one as a case story. And I want you to pay attention to how I'm using Crow. Most people would say this. When we were working with Microsoft, they were very upset with us at first, but we turned it around and we got them a 200% ROI. But that's neocortex.
Every case study ever.
Yeah. Microsoft. Okay, when I say we were working with Microsoft, what do you see? What do you see?
I have worked at Microsoft, so to me it's different. But I see some buildings
because you've been here.
Yeah.
Maybe the logo. You might see the logo, right? Yeah. But that's all we're seeing. Okay. Yeah. And it's and then we gave them 200% because we turned it around. There's a story in there. Like, what happened? Like, what? How did you turn it around? So that's what I want to do is we dig into the story. So let me rephrase that now, and I'll do it in a mind movie way. Okay. And I'm making all these characters up just so you know, for the sake of energy.
I have a request. Before we run out, I want to do it for us because this is perfect. I have a Microsoft story for you.
Okay, good.
All right. This is good. But let's do
okay,
this.
So I'm going to give a sample. Okay. So when we first met Susan Johnson, the senior vice president of Azure, we walked into her office and it was pristine. Like there was nothing on her desk. All you saw was behind her, all of her awards. No pictures of her family, just her awards. And we walked in and we said, "Hi, Susan, nice to meet you." She said, "Mm-hmm, sit down." Oh, we're in trouble. we are not happy at all. You told us that you would be tying all the disparate information, and we're not seeing that. And I want to know why. Okay. And so we had to get to work. We had to come back to Susan. We had to show her that maybe we had dropped the ball during the onboarding a little bit. And when we told her that and we figured it out, she was said, "Well, I appreciate that. Okay. All right. Now we've got everything in line. Great." 2 months later, our team was involved heavily to make sure that we would turn this around for Susan. And sure enough, we did. And I remember walking back into the office and she's like, "Hi, sit down." And that's when we knew that the relationship between our company and Azure and Microsoft were absolutely back on track. In fact, we got them a 200% ROI. That's because our team cares. That's because our team knows what we're doing. We just had a rocky start, and sometimes that happens. But if you address it head on, that's when you turn it around, and that's when you have a relationship with a client that's going to be long term.
This is great. But Melissa, honestly, I expected that you're going to name the baby that Susan just had into your company's name. Like, it's not quite there, right? Like,
I wanted to keep it all biz, but I could have made her go, "And hurry up, because I got to pick up my kids and they need a happy meal," okay?
Yeah. Well, look, let's not jump out of order, but like maybe you could help us, right? Like, so I actually was thinking a bit because of our backstory in Bellevue and kind of you're there. I spent a lot of time there, and I put together a story that maybe I could read to you. That's knowing, like having listened to you, it lacks that emotional touch. But I'll try to tweak it a little bit on the way, but. Maybe we could work it out, and this is going to help. I think kind of a founder story. So this is maybe not like our customer, but this is me. Okay. And maybe you could tell me, you know what, your story is lame, Alex, and you should really talk about the
customers. I don't say it like that, Alex.
But yeah, you know, you're going to be nicer because you're from.
So we're going to do a little live coaching, is what we're.
So this
do.
Is okay. Coaching, but I think just like
all right, let me get a drink of water.
I know you're improv. I have this. Written up, but I generally, this is sort of to keep it a little shorter because it takes me like a long time to tell the story, but it is in line. And
FYI, I love that we're going to do this because this is what happens in a session is that
a
person
I want
in,
people to
story,
feel how awesome you are.
It's called story mining and crafting. Let's go.
Yeah. So imagine my first job is a fresh undergrad intern at Microsoft Office team. And I was supposed to bring PowerPoint and Word into the last mile to help people.
Supposed to bring what?
into the last mile, like help Word and PowerPoint to be actually used in these shared communications. Basically deliver their ideas clearly, confidently when you're not in the room. And then I saw that this last mile, so to speak, got hijacked by the PDFs. They took over. They made this content easier to send and to download because it would print well without any issues, but it was impossible to feel. You lost the animation, the liveness of it. Like what you were talking about was the movement of bullets. And so the great ideas started to land flat or not land at all. And then later in consulting and at Salesforce and SuccessFactors, these successful companies, running my own B2B agency for marketers, I felt the same failure, especially the more regulated, the complex, the enterprise, the industry, we kind of the last mile of the idea failed to engage the audience. And the more important the idea, the worse it got. And now with Gen AI, you know, there's even more noise. The market is flooding the world with more content, more documents, more blah, blah. And so at Relate2, we're zagging away from the noise. And we take these boring files and turn them, folders, links, and turn them into dynamic, intelligent experiences. We call it generative UX that does the transformation. And it doesn't just create more touch points. It actually learns what resonates so we can continue to improve how these ideas get delivered and get results. This is something we call regenerative AI. So we're regenerating the ideas. And this feels to me like kind of life's work right now because, you know, I started at that internship, kind of failed dealing with PDFs there because now all the Word and PowerPoint files are PDFs. But I think we can fix it because we can help humans rise with their important ideas above the AI noise, can get the important stuff, act on it, and make it happen. So roughly that's kind of the backstory of what I want to get across.
Yeah.
Was reading it, so it was not real, as you saw.
Okay.
It's sort of like this is the work in progress, the what's in my head in helping. And frankly, I find it very motivating. Like this story, for me, it's personally deeply motivating because underneath, like, hey, but I don't, I would love to get it so it's like just breakthrough, doesn't take 20 minutes, entertains, and maybe bring Susan in, you know, instead of just me, right? Because I'm not
Susan,
the hero.
This is all you now.
It's all me? All right.
It's funny. So when I'm hearing a story and when I'm working on any deck, I kind of allow the images to start to come up. I think that might be my improv training. And you kept using the word mile. You kept using the mile word, which would say roads, speed, curves, bumps in the road kind of thing. So I'm sort of picking up on that. But I kind of felt like I also got some cowboy imagery that was going on. So I'm gonna kind of try to play it back, but I want to ask you a couple of questions. I love that you said I was an undergrad intern. So how old were you?
Been 20.
About 20?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
The reason that's data.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
The reason why it's important to state your age is that your audience actually starts to remember being 20 as well. And what's going on when you're 20? You're kind of like faking it till you make it. You know, you don't really know what you're doing. And some of your friends act like they know what they're doing, but they don't know what they're doing. Everyone's only 20. You're trying to figure out, wait, we have to pay rent every month? You know, like, there's a lot going on in a young adult's life. But clearly, you're very talented because you've already landed an internship at one of the largest companies in the world, and you're working on something that is going to change the world. That is PowerPoint and Word. Okay. That was like a new sheriff in town, and PowerPoint was hot because you could do animations. You could like bring things in, right? You could like slide stuff in. There was motion, right?
Yeah, yeah. I actually thought PowerPoint was cool back then, right? Like this is sort of like, this was... Right. And
Canva,
it was the dream job.
Canva's screwing everybody up because Canva's amazing. It's like the next level. But back then, PowerPoint was the sheriff. Okay. It was hot, right? It was a little intimidating, but if you concentrated, you could learn how to do those animations, right? You could put in graphics. It was a little limited, but it was better than just, you know, what we were using before, whiteboards. And so you have, so we have some imagery going now, okay? And then the new share, then someone comes into town, and it's called the PDF. And the PDF, so you're riding in on your horse. Everyone's like, that's a beautiful stallion. But this new sheriff comes in and it's driving a car. It's moving faster. It's not getting stuck in the mail. Okay. It's because PDFs did, or PowerPoint did that. You'd be like, so you could actually maybe have a scene in your thing, be like, you know, we were proud of this. Like, you know, we had animations. We were taking the whole world by storm, showing them that movement and control was in their hands. And the salespeople would be like, I'm going to send you our PowerPoint, Mr. Customer. You'll get it. Did you get it? Nope. What do you mean? Wait, I've sent it 6 times. Nope, didn't get it. Did you check your spam? Oh, nope, it's not there. It's like, oh no. And it's like stuck in some web, you know, because it's so big and the file won't allow you. And then Sheriff PDF comes in and it's like, oh, I sent it to you. Did you get it? Yeah, I got it. Thank you so much. It's really good. Yeah, you're welcome.
I can even print it without worrying.
I can print. It's not going to get on my, you know, so what you're doing is you're creating a comical way and people are seeing it and we all remember it. So now we have the PDF guy who's like the new sheriff and he's not riding a horse. He's got a car and it's a smooth road right now for him. But enter AI. And now everyone's panicking. And I mentioned Canva. Canva's coming in and bringing it. And now Relato is coming in and bringing it to the next level. And so does that help? Because that can help you be more playful. I could actually even see like animations that back it up, you know, to make it silly and fun instead of, you know, but you had that road thing. So I was kind of playing off the road, but somehow I had a sheriff. So take it or leave it. But what I am doing though, is did you see the sheriff? Did you see the salesperson? I sent it to you 6 times. Nope. I didn't see it.
And then I think back to then, and then you have to say, so how do you, so you're visualizing this, but then back to the, how sizable is the problem, right? Because the irony is that even in Canva, right? Like 9 times out of 10 for this, even if you create something in Canva, you still save it as a PDF. And then you kind of, you know, have to put it into branded portal or whatnot, right? Like much less, you know, PowerPoints or Adobe InDesign or other things like that that are destined for PDF from the get-go. And so I'm trying to paint this new tragedy that the ideas are dying in this kind of like at the moment of like the highest interaction. So it's kind of one is deliverability, but the other is this flatness, maybe it's the fact that we're overloaded it's easier to, because of Canva, it's easier to create maybe stuff, right? But it's like the consumer journey has not improved. You're just asking them, like you were saying earlier, to consume more pages of stuff, not find the relevant materials. How would you bring that to life in a kind of in the story way, right? Like, do you need to paint this new consumer, right? Like 20 years later, there's a new the same thing, the same problem, but different type of thing. Like,
well, technology is always evolving, right? But the bottom line is that we're always going to be communicating. And the beauty is that our technologists are helping us communicate in such a multitude of ways, right?
Right.
And sometimes we just need a flat PDF. You know, we don't have to wrestle every single situation, right?
Yeah.
Like a lawyer's document might be happily living, happily ever after in the PDF world, right?
Yeah.
But the salespeople, the founders, the ones that really want to make a new impact, they're pitching new ideas.
This is where
the new technology. I actually was, I'm meeting with a company because I'm an author. And they are going to be using AI so that someone could use my book and say, hey, Melissa, I want to talk about a little bit more about the advance and expand part of your book. Okay. And it'll be my voice. What can I ask? What do you want to talk about? Well, let me run this story past you. And can you please let me know when I need to expand and when I need to advance? Sure. Let me hear it. And then it's going to apply my mind moving method that's in my book. Here's my book.
Yeah. By the way, everybody, I bought the audiobook. I'm loving it. Please pay attention. We've got it. Okay, it's going to be in the notes if you didn't catch this. Thank you, Melissa.
All right. Yes, shameless plug. But I mean, it makes sense to show the book, right? So, you know, so someone's in, because I want people to be engaged, right? So this to me is the next level of what a book could be, a teaching book. This is great. Now, how does it get to people? I don't know technically yet. You know, I'm just in early stages. But what if you applied that to your,
We have elements of this already, right? And maybe we could be the delivery of that AI chat that you just described, right? Like, so oftentimes we are kind of one of the big, and this is kind of fun to hear you describe this, right? Because you could be a customer, right? This is your thought leadership platform, right? You want to basically clone yourself because you have only, you're popular, I know. It's hard to get in your schedule. And so, you know, if you could close yourself through this book, then that kind of amplifies your impact, right? You could be maybe talking to people who could not afford your services, but could, you know, in full, but could afford partially, could afford this book. So you're effectively reinventing the book to spread your great ideas on how other people could spread their ideas, which is a little meta, but a lot of fun, right? And that's
well,
magical.
My goal is to create millions of better business storytellers. That's my goal. And how am I going to do that? I can't talk to a million people myself. Right. So I've created downloadable teaching decks that people can buy. I have the book. I have the companion journal. I have the audio book. I have a course. I have video courses that you can do because everyone learns in a different way.
Different way.
But to have a talking book.
Well, but this is what one thing I want to build on is like what I love, like the, you're a great storyteller. You got this. You got it. Like everybody learns in a different way. And it's such a simple concept. And everybody who's taken any e-learning training certifications, it's well known. It's like, it's been there. There's no debate that we all have different learning styles. And for some reason, this is the sort of tragedy that we've been talking about. Like when it comes to how we make knowledge accessible, we just assume that we show up with a one size fits all, you know, PDF-y, PowerPoint-y, whatever you name it, right? Like they're still like typically one size fits all. And you know, and typically textual, right? And at the end. And so yeah, like what if I'm the type of learner that likes the little I like text, I could read a few and it could help me remember, digest. But then I'd love to have a customer story that's like a human being talking in a TikTok-y way for 5 seconds. And I drill into that in the area that I'm interested, not in the area where I have to watch a 2-hour video to find the one snippet that matters to me. But like I find the area that I'm interested in, and then I have a choice of learning styles. And I'm hoping for the world where we start doing this, not just for fluffy stuff, but for important ideas, like what you're doing with your book, which is really like, it's a lever that changes the world. I'm curious why people aren't doing it. Why people aren't doing it. Like, tell us what's blocking us.
Because we've been taught not to. We've been taught to data dump, show up and throw up, analysis paralysis, or whatever you want to say. But again, I'm going to come back to, an actor only cares about the audience. So it's always about the audience. How does that audience, who is in the audience, and how are you going to talk to them so that your ideas resonate? Is data dumping really the way to do it? And then you're sitting in college and you're sitting in an MBA class and your professor is data dumping on you. They're doing everything. And so we're trained to think this is how we do it. And I am rising up and saying, no, it's not. No, it's not. We can be better. We can be conscientious to our audience in a multitude of ways. So even like with my audiobook, it's not just me reading. There are 16 executives sharing stories in every sample that I have. Why? Because I wanted to be edutaining. Okay. I mean, the very first story is the guy that this book is about. That's Caleb Carr's story. And that's Caleb. So because I've been raised as an actor, I've tried to do that. And that's why I think it's just important that we need to say, I can be better. How can I leave every meeting or teach whatever I need to, whatever my message is? How can I do it so that I'm standing out, so that my audience feels like, you saw me. Thank you. I appreciate that. How can I be of service to you? Right? Not just, here comes another one. Oh God, he's going to start to, and they just start scrolling.
Yeah.
They just start scrolling because
they are destroyed. Yeah. Melissa, you overwhelmed them. I hope everybody reaches out. Where can people find you so that they could enjoy your work and really grow from it?
I appreciate it. Well, the book is available. You can always go to Amazon and look up The Storyteller's Mind movie. I'm on LinkedIn, and it's Melissa Reeves, R-E-A-V-E-S, with Story Fruition. And obviously my website, storyfruition.com. I also will have very soon melissareevesstoryteller.com, because I actually walk my talk. I go out on stages and, you know, I'm on NPR and PBS and all that stuff. So I do this stuff. And then also the Audible, you can get it anywhere that they reach is Audible. So if you go to my website, you can even buy quite a few pieces of material that can teach you on your own. If you're a do-it-yourself learner, I'm there for you. I've got it. But if you are someone who's like, nope, I need someone to hold my hand, then reach out to me at melissa@storyfruition.com, and we can have a meeting, and we can find out what you are doing. So, you know, if you're like, I want us to have a story library program, let's talk. You know, and you're a decision maker, like you're the chief HR director, or you're the CEO or the CMO, let's talk. But if you're like, you know what, I have a great message, and I want to stand on a red dot with a microphone and do a TED talk, we can help you with that. If someone says, I want to create a webinar that I can use as a lead magnet, and I want it to be rich in storytelling, and I want to find my founder story so that I can be able to tell it in a great way, call us, we will help you. So it just depends on what you need, but we really are covering a lot of territory for people who are in public speaking. And if you're a public speaker and you hate it, storytelling can quell those nerves. So we work with that too. It's like, so many people hate to public speak, but they have to. That's why storytelling's fun. And then we focus in on you so much that you start to realize that you're a walking storybook. You're a wisdom walker. You have so much to share, but you didn't know how to tell it. And so we help you find your stories of fortitude, resilience, failure, that you rose up from the ashes. All of those gorgeous stories that are inside you, they need to come out. They need to come out. You're a leader now. And so that's the private coaching that we can do for you. So
every business person is a storyteller. Brilliant. Melissa, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. This was really fun.
Welcome back. Alex Shevelenko here. Thank you so much for listening to Experience Focused Leaders podcast. You can learn more about us at podcast.relateto.com, relateto.com. Obviously, we would love for you to send this to people that you know who would be great speakers, or just share the nuggets that you took away from this episode with your community on social. And you could learn more about what we're up to on relateto.com. You could certainly connect with me on LinkedIn, where it's just very easy to spell my name. You have to have a master's in Ukrainian. It's Shevelenko, Shevelenko. Would love to connect so that we can move together the way the world communicates about its most important ideas. Thank you for listening. We hope to see you next time.